Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, that's always a good answer. Well, again, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT. We'll be signing K2BAR this evening, the station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This repeater, net is run on a frequency of 146.835. The two-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York. The PL is off, but if it was on, it would be 151.4. And or 151.3, if whatever. Anyway, whatever that PL is, 151.3, right? Anyway. And the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. This net is a little different than other nets, and that is a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computing, telecommunications, natural sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby. And of course, our experiences with the hobby, things we've done, things we aspire to do, and the ever educational things we never want to do again. I'm probably in my worst possible location right now. Hopefully I'm making a repeater. The other thing is that we welcome and expect people to list things for sale, swap, or wanted. So feel free to do that as well. And we look forward to those kinds of things to happen. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. We check in with our call sign, our name. We indicate whether we have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, and none of the above. And again, because it's a conversation, we need you to let us know you're in the room, as it were, virtually, as it were. And so do check in, even if you have nothing apparently to add, the simple none of the above after your call sign and your name. So, with no further ado, let's get on. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR. Okay, we have no Alphas today. That's fine. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMP in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Good evening, Jim, WA2UMP. We'll also ask that maybe you give a little bit of digital report on what's happening lately and what other nets are available, what linking is going to go on this weekend, that kind of thing at some point. Very good. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo. Bob here with a comment.
Hey, Bob, what are your intentions? I've had an APRS burst take you out.
Okay, I just wanted to say I had a comment. Over.
Roger, no problem. Got your email, and that's, I suspect, the subject of it. And I have something of interest to you as well on your mesh side. So we'll get to that in short order. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK with a comment.
Good evening, Don. I got you checked. No problem. Any other whiskeys?
WI2W.
WI2W. Very good, Steve. welcome aboard, and I got your email as well. Talk about that a little bit. Dear me. Yawn, yawn. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys? Okay, how about the ever popular Kilos?
This is Kilo Delta 2. Bravo, Kilo Delta. Bob here. Hopefully I'm coming in on this little stubby antenna okay.
You're doing fine with your stubby antenna, Bob. No problem whatsoever. Alrighty. Bob, what are your intentions? Sorry.
Comment.
Very good. Hopefully we'll hear kind of a oral version of your last report, or your last testing activity. Alrighty. Any other kilos?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Alrighty. Well, Don, over to you. W2JEK, K2BAR, you're first.
K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Just a reminder, everybody, that our next Barra V test session will be tomorrow night, Friday night, June 16th, 7 p.m., and we'll be at the Township of Washington's Borough Hall at the Senior Center, 350 Hudson Avenue in the Township of Washington, and this will be at 7 p.m. And if anybody's coming, they'll need ID like a driver's license, a passport, or two forms of non-photo ID. And $15 test fee. If you have a license, bring that license along with a copy of the license. If you do not have a license, you'll need a social security number in order to obtain your license. Unless you already have an FCC license for some commercial gear that gives you an FRN number. And if you want to use a calculator, that's fine. The memory has to be empty. Cell phones, iPods, and other electronic devices cannot be used as a calculator. With that, back to net. W2JK.
Very good, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don regarding licensing for the upcoming test sessions? All right. Don, anything else?
Not this time, thanks. Back to net, W2JEK.
Alrighty, very good. I'm just going to throw it out here that, and you guys can chew on it as you see fit, but I got a mobile mesh node established on my vehicle with, quite nicely, actually. And it's... got a 5 gig node, it's got a 2 gig node, and a 900, and it all seems to be working pretty well. Also has a cellular gateway, a Wi-Fi access point, and it's even got a small embedded Raspberry Pi server, and that's all working and all tunneled back to home, etc. If you were rather convoluted setup, but I do have it set up to do that. I have my home set up to home in one of the guys in California on the mesh, and my mobile node, my field node set up to mesh via Randy's. Probably Randy's server. And that seems to be working just fine. Really is. So, right now I'm staring at a still image of our church bulletin. One camera, and the other camera I've got it set up so I can watch the oscillation of the ceiling fan in the dining room. pretty neutral. That way, if my son decides to walk through the house without the benefit of a shirt, you know, instead of to sit there and embarrass him or he doesn't have to embarrass himself. But it's all good. Anyway, let's see. On that note, let's hand it over to Bob, WA2IFC, K2BIR.
Okay, K2BIR, WA2IFC. I saw reported that nobody was able to connect to any of my nodes last weekend, nor to any results for that matter. I guess all these trees around here are killing us. Over.
Yeah, Bob, do you want to talk more about that? KD2PKD, K2BAR.
Okay, KD2BAR, this is KD2PKD. We did some testing, basically pointed my node at the new test location. We went to the new test location, and from observation, it looked like there was a lot of trees in the... In the past, we tried both the 900 meg and 2.4, and we didn't get any connection, but I also wanted to get a little higher than we actually were. Let me drop it. I wanted to get it out on a pole. I'm still not convinced that it will not work to my house to this new location. I am convinced that is not going to work to the south because there's heavily woods over there, which I noticed by using Google Earth. I learned how to take Google Earth and put two locations for a path, bring that path up in elevation. You have to bring them up in elevation in both sides and then connect those and actually zoom around like you were a drone or something, and you can see the path. You can't see the actual Fresnel zone, but you can see the line of sight. You just have to imagine this zone has to be bigger. And I think possibly a connection from Bergenfield to my house is possible. I'm still, if it's high enough, and to the other side. But going the other direction towards Oradell and Washington Township, I don't think is possible. I also looked at it from Bergenfield to Oradell. I don't think that's possible. There's heavily trees there also, unless you get very high. You need a big, big tower. So this is KD2BKD.
Okay, KD2BKD, WA2IFC, I don't, a bigger tower is not likely to happen here. Anyway, I was also had the thought cross my mind is if there was some way of using, say, the amateur television channel on 432 megahertz, that's about 6 megahertz wide, but, and digital signals generally look like noise to NTSC analog television, but I don't know. There's probably any number of reasons why that's not practical. Over.
Well, I'll take it from you. I would like to try to use a different frequency. I was looking at 2.25 meter, but you need somebody with a device that can do meshnet on that. I don't know of any products that work in that band. As far as I know, there's only 900, 2.4, 5.8, and 3 gig. So somebody's got to make that piece of equipment.
All right, I'm sorry. You wanted to try 220?
Yeah, if that was possible, but somebody would need to make that equipment.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Well, there's another issue too, Bob, and that is that there's not enough bandwidth there. We only have a 3 meg allocation. And that's inclusive of all the 220 repeaters, so I'm not so sure you'd make yourself real popular there. But having said that, what do you think about 70 centimeters?
If it's possible, I don't know. Somebody's got to make the equipment to do that.
Yeah, maybe somebody can transvert one of our nodes down to that frequency around. I think there's an ATV channel that's not normally used. Well, we'd have to ask around around 435 megahertz.
Don't start with that. That is a non-starter. And not because of ATB activity, because it's, if it's encroachment on the satellite band, it just, that is a non-starter. 434, please, the satellite folks will just cringe if you start in with that again. I blew up the Tri-State Amateur Repeater Council over that. That's how the Connecticut Spectrum Management Association came about, because they wanted to protect the rights and privileges of all those ATV guys in Connecticut. They had a rather active ATV group that also controlled a lot of the FM repeaters. I don't even want to go there. But there's... now, we could put it down in the 427 band. That would work.
Okay, I'm not sure where the band edge is, actually. I have to look it up. That was just a thought that crossed my mind. As I said before, maybe some sort of transverter that can take 2.4 gigs and make it into the 427, as long as it's got the 5 megahertz bandwidth.
Well, a 500 mega oscillator and some filters would do wonders. then we have to work on the sensitivity, but that might work, actually. AK2F, are you about K2BAR? I guess he wandered off. Okay. But yeah, building a transverter that would take in, let's say, a 900 signal and drop it into 420 would be fairly straightforward. Of course, it would probably be more desirable to take a 2.4, to take essentially a 2,000 meg oscillator and just work it from there. That would work, and essentially move one or two of the channels down into 420. That would work really well, actually. We have to think about that. It could be done, and then getting power up to get above 600 milliwatts would be another clear winner. 82BKD, W2TDT, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2ISC. Oh, and the other part of my comment was that I had some trouble with the Microsoft update to my Windows 7 box. Over.
Yeah, I threw that up on the ComTech group. So, Bob, why don't you describe your dilemma, how it was fixed?
Okay, well, the symptom was that on my Dell box here that's running Windows 7, it did the automatic or the scheduled updating that always happens. I think it's the second Tuesday of the month for Microsoft. Well, the icon down the lower right corner, the internet connection wasn't working. So I could see other computers on the home network, but I just could not get on the internet. Rebooted a couple of times, this and that. Nothing worked. I'll drop it. And basically, did a troubleshooting of the network connection. And one of the things it suggested was that I do a system restore to a previous version of the update. So that's what I did. And then after one or two bootings of the computer, things started working again. I have no clue as to what really happened. Over.
Now, that can be very frustrating, isn't it? But, all right, well, good. I'm glad that you were able to solve it. But I'm wondering if anyone else had a similar experience.
Yeah, and what'll happen come next month?
Yeah, well, then you'll get the accumulated things and maybe they'll have patched whatever was kooky in that one version to the next. Who knows? I do have one Windows 7 machine. and I haven't gone upstairs to try it and test it to see what it did, but I believe it's set up for auto-updating, so that'll be something I'll check on tomorrow. That's certainly worthy of note. But you were able to roll it back, and by rolling it back, everything's fine.
Seems to be good. I have another Windows 7 box in the house, and it had no problems at all.
Right, there was another station with a comment.
Good evening, Gordon, W2SE.
Good evening, Bruce.
When the internet stopped working, I guess you were typing in the symbolic names of things. What kind of message did you get?
Bob?
Oh, I was trying to use a, I'll surf the web like I usually do on a browser. I'm not computer savvy enough to really understand the meaning of your question.
Okay, when you typed in Facebook or whatever it was into the browser, and it sat there and sunk for a couple of seconds or longer, what error message did you get?
Oh, it was like basically just said it couldn't find the web page. It acted like as if there was no connection to the internet.
Like a 404?
Yeah, pretty much that.
Hold on, was it a 404 or was it something else?
We doubled. I'm thinking it's a DNS problem, Goodvers.
Okay, 404 is something completely different, Gordon. Let's not confuse things. What exactly was the message to the best of your memory?
Oh, my memory's not that good, but for what it's worth, the little icon that shows what the network is doing, like down at the bottom bar, I forgot what the proper name of it is, but where there's a little icon showing a network conductivity, it was saying that it was only connected to the local network, but no internet connection. Over.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Okay, there'd be more troubleshooting needed, but we could certainly figure it out given a few minutes. There's a couple of commands to issue in the command window, otherwise known as the DOS window to some of us, and it'll display what's going on or what the computer thinks is going on with the network. Either you didn't get an IP address, or I'm trying to think of what else. You said you were able to talk to other things on the local network?
Yeah, I was able to actually, access my Arden nodes, and they were able to access tunnels and so on. So the house router was still working. I couldn't get the browser to connect to anything, and the computer itself didn't seem to want to connect to the, do an internet connection, even though it was connecting to stuff in the house. As I rolled it back, like, whatever it was, is no longer happening to me, so, over.
Okay, I'd need the entire error message, and I'd figure it out, or we could do some commands through the command window. There's a few other possibilities. It sounds like you got a local address, so it sounds like something called DHCP is working. That should have given you a DNS address as well, which is how the internet uses lookups, turns Facebook into a numeric address, which is what the internet uses internally. Hard to say whether you didn't have routing connectivity, missing default gateway, or what. All sorts of things it might be. But I'm thinking that if it happens again, I forget if it's ifconfig or ipconfig, ipconfig, and then space, then slash, and then all, all. That's a good command to use.
In Windows, it's ipconfig. In Linux, it's ifconfig.
Yeah, so IP config space slash all, A-L-L.
Didn't see what the messages give me. But as I said, right now, I got rid of the problem by rolling it back, so I have no idea. I can't reproduce the problem right now.
Wait a month.
Yeah, and by then maybe they'll have recognized that some aspect of that was not quite kosher, and they'll have a more refined upgrade available. The other alternative is, it says, oh, you missed last month, we'll give you that one too, and it leaves you in that same state. But Bob, if you do get it, do an IF config, an IP config from the DOS window, and I think the default is all for that, so I don't think you need to use the slash all option.
No, you definitely need the slash all.
In Windows?
Roger, roger. You only get partial. You don't get all the detailed information about the working connection. Slash all will give you all the other connections, too, but it gives you the details, and that's what you want. There may be another option I'm not aware of that gives you the details just for the current connection, but slash all works.
Right, okay. And then just save that, Bob, you know, highlight all the text and drop it into a, into a Word document or something. The other thing you can do is you can, if you know the command is working, pipe the output to a .txt file and save that with the output.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I can cut and paste from that command window. I think I tried doing it, and it didn't, for some reason it didn't do it. Anyway, I'll know to do that if it happens again.
Yeah, you can, you just have to, like, use Control-C. And the way you highlight things is you have to scroll from the bottom up. You can't scroll from the top down.
Okay, yeah, I imagine it was something strange about that. Anyway, K2BIR, WA2IC.
According to memory serves, the DOS window is funky. You highlight and then hit the space bar to do your copy. You can right-click on the top bar of the window, and that will give you other edit options.
Oh, okay. I was not aware. I don't seem to have a problem with that, but maybe I'm just, I don't know. Who knows why? I'll have to go back and try it out. But anyway, very good. So play with the all option. Probably should get that syntax down now before, you encounter this mess next month, Bob.
Okay, Gordon. K2BIR, WA2IC, I guess I'll turn it over to the next guy.
The other thing is, you might want to capture what's there now, so that way you can compare it to what you see next month. In case something gets goofy, you have an A-B comparison. Alrighty. Oh, thank you, Bob. That was interesting. Let's see. We got your thing. We got Don's comments. I was doing this by memory. Who did I miss? Okay. That works, too. Bob, I'm going to take a swing by your place in maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And I'll stay here, even if it's after the net, just do a little neighborhood drive-by down Oriole Avenue, et cetera. I'll test all that out and give you a shot so you can see both at 900 and at 2.4, you know, what's going on. I'll go up by JC's house and see if I can get a signal from where you are to him. Or in that neighborhood with my mobile node. I'm not expecting it, but we can always try.
Okay, Gordon, K2BAR, WA2IC, I'll be keeping an eye out for it.
Right, and KA2BKD, I'm not exactly sure where in Park Ridge you live, but I can certainly look it up. And I'm going to scoot up that way, too, after that, so just be aware, I'm going to basically do the tour of Kinder Kermack Road.
Yeah, if you go Kindakamak Road on basically where the diner is, behind the diner, like diagonally, I'm up on the hill a little bit, about two blocks behind, and I'm about at 50-foot elevation above the diner, 40 to 50 feet. So you may be able to get it by Wooddale Park or Ruckman Road, because that's the way it's pointed. It's pointed down that valley towards your house. KD2BKD.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
All right. Yeah, I figured I would do a little bit of a hit and see what, see how good the connection is, probably between my mobile node and your house as I drive the route. But, I got the hit because I have no idea why. That's annoying. Anyway, anybody else have, any topics for the net tonight? Oh, just a couple of awareness items. Barra has their kit night, which is going to be superseded on Tuesday by a walkthrough of their field day site. So just be aware of that, and go to the Barra website for information as to where to show up. That's www.barra.org. Carolyn is having a session on Intro to Field Day tomorrow as part of the whole meeting activities. If you're new to Field Day or want to get reacquainted with the modern Field Day rules, you're welcome to come and learn that. Hopefully, whether you're participating with Fairlawn or with Barra, it's a useful session. I know I'm probably going to be working on a rotator tomorrow, if need be. I need to get a rotator going in time for the VHF station for field day, so that's going to be my concentration. So I'll be bringing a rotator and a control box and messing with those nice things tomorrow. I'm going to find some cable to work on that, to get that squared away. And what else? I think that's all I have on the list. And just hope everybody has a fine evening. Anything else for the net? K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, God, these hiccups are killing me. Anyway, thanks everybody for a wonderful net tonight. And we look forward to seeing you soon. And, I know, I did want to say something. Wanted to get two things, actually. WATUMP, what's on the digital menu for the weekend, K2BAR?
Hi, Gordon. This weekend, I think what I'll do is I will link it to the Minnesota room and leave it from Friday night through Monday evening. Monday evening is the Minnesota TechNet, which has some pretty interesting stuff. Again, to join, you'll need a C4FM radio, also called Fusion. And, of course, on Tuesday nights, we have the net, and we link together the 442.9 that has C4FM and the DMR New York State Talk Group. Let me let it drop a second. So you can join the net if you have a DMR radio. You can pick one up for $100 or less, and or you can join the fun with the C4FM radio. Net has been going pretty well. Linking together the two networks seems to have worked out. We get a decent cross section of people. Most of the people in New York, New Jersey, Northeast, and a smattering from all over the world. We did, a couple weeks ago, we got one guy that logged in from Australia and someone else from Trinidad, which is pretty exciting. So join the fun, pick yourself up an inexpensive digital radio, and hope to see you on Tuesday nights. Back to Net Control.
Oh, that's very good. Very good. Anybody have any questions for Bob about that? Okay, Bob, Jim, I'm sorry, with Jim. What's your rationale for leaving it up longer this time?
Well, I usually what I do is I link in Friday night, Saturday night, I link in, I switch from the America, from the Minnesota room to the American room, but I will be out on the town Saturday night, won't be able to be here for the switch. So I think, and I have to link it back, so I thought, well, maybe I'll just leave it on Minnesota for those Friday night through Monday night, and we'll see how that goes. No special reason other than I won't be here Saturday night to make a switch, so we'll just let it run continuous for those 3.5 or 4 days, and we'll see how that works out. I don't want to leave it up full-time. Then you get people that are deprived of using the analog side of it, and they may have something to say about it. So this way we keep everybody happy by dividing the time. Back to net control.
I see. So that the intercom users will have their intercom.
Well, I guess that's one way to put it. Most of the analog activity is on the .955 repeater, so it was actually a good idea to move the digital net over to 442.9. This way we have less complaints. In fact, there haven't been any complaints, which is a good thing, so that's worked out pretty well.
Well, I'm glad it has. All righty. Well, that answers that question. Anybody have any more? Okay. Well, that's excellent. Well, I still have yet to get my, a decent code plug for my Connect Systems Mobile. So. I'm not so inclined to go out and buy yet another DMR radio that I can't program.
Well, any Sunday you want to get together, it would take like about 2.5 hours to come up with a very decent code plug, but it's really not something you could do at the Barra meeting with all kinds of interference. It takes a bit of a concentration. But 2.5 hours, you can walk out and have a code plug, and it's not really that hard. Once I would do a couple of channels and let you do the rest. And once you do that, you'll see it's pretty. It follows a certain a pattern that you just mimic, and from there on in, it's easy.
Yeah, I figured as much. All righty. Well, we'll see what gives. We'll see what gives. Sundays are often very busy. This Sunday is not just Father's Day, and by the way, for those of you who are fathers, happy Father's Day. But also it's my anniversary, so 3-4 years, so it's pretty exciting. Got to come up with something for next year. Didn't do anything at 20, 25, or 30. I think at 35, I think we better do something. Got to figure out what that's going to be. But we'll figure something out. In any case, let's see. What else I want to mention? Oh, I don't know. But anyway, we've got our activities going. And, maybe we can coax you down to a Fairlawn meeting on a Friday. I know that's tougher, but maybe that might actually be saner to do. We could do a little tutorial where we program one radio and we do it with a computer that's on a projector, and we record the whole thing with video, so that way we have it on video as to how to go do it. Maybe that we could turn it into a whole program one night, and that would be a lot of fun. So, we'll see. WA2UMP, anything else? Can you be here?
That's about it on this side, Gordon. Back to you.
Okay, very good. And by the way, this 6 meters has been open every day for about almost a week, I guess, now. People are having a lot of fun, so day and night, and during the VHF, I would say, a whole lot of fun. So do keep in mind, 6 meters is a band that keeps on giving it. Even 2 meters has been good. 2 meters, we had some incredible enhancements on 2 meters and 440 or 430 this morning. Those of us who use the 442 repeater were hearing a radar from 447.0 coming, you know, probably out of New England. They're just pounding away on the input this morning. And a check of 2 meters also verified that there was quite a good propagation. Guys running 50 watts in Virginia were S9 up here on 2 meters this morning on single sideband. So something to think about. All righty, WI2W, K2BA, are you still around?
I'm still here. I'm back, actually. I was away for a bit.
Yeah, thank you for that reference to that Downey's microwave product. Yeah, I'm thinking about that because, pardon me, it would simplify this whole transverter operation, but it still means that an awful lot of RF is floating around somewhere. So I want to see what my other options are. I was thinking about inserting a mimic and doing adding that extra stage they talk about for when you have low power drive issues.
Yeah, it's just a question of time to collect the parts and put it together and put it in a box and wire it up and go through all that stuff. So the Downey solution is quick and simple. And, you know, the UPS driver brings it. I got it because I wanted to use it with some other radios as well, and it just turns out it works good. There was a fella, I think a Swedish guy, that wrote an article on the Flex 1500 and how, because of the circuitry inside, it put some extra noise out about 300 or about 3 kilohertz away, I guess, from the transmitting frequency. And he claims that it was unusable, and people that were using it for microwave applications were throwing them away, and there was a big hoo-ha about it. Flex came back with an answer and said, look, unless you're running a multi-operator VHF contest station, you wouldn't see it if you were more than a mile away or something in terms of microwatts. So anyway, the one suggestion that guy had was run your Flex at 5 watts and then take that signal to drive your transverter, and it would be much cleaner. So that was why I had that comment in email.
Yeah, no, I got that. And that's interesting. I didn't realize the underlying problem was a perceived issue with the transverter ports. That's very interesting. The other thing I found, by reputation, I haven't tested it yet, is that when you're in transverter mode, you're not bound to the band limits. Whereas if you use the output port, the high power output port, you are. Of course, you know, because of some professional connections, I have the unlock code for two of my radios. I don't have it for the third. I have to dig up the serial number for the third one. To dig up the radio is what I have to do to get the serial number, and they'll send me the unlock code for that too. But I have the proverbial letter on file with them, authorizing that, guaranteeing that I will be a good citizen, because I use it in the lab. for other things. So it works very nicely in a Faraday cage. I'll leave it at that. But anyway, all right. Well, it's certainly something to consider because I don't want to be throwing junk around either. So maybe the high power solution is another one. Keep in mind also, I have a 30 dB attenuator that's, you know, a bird, 500 watt attenuator, which I assume I could use for the purpose as well.
Yeah, a little bulky to take out in the field though. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out since you mentioned it the other night, and I've been enjoying the SDR on 222 at the VHF contest. I mean, that's a band that's not used a whole lot because of the scarcity of equipment, so having the SDR lets you see a signal pop up and you can go work them before he gets discouraged and goes away.
Yeah, a critical point to make. Absolutely. Anytime someone shows up on that band, you want to facilitate that. You also want to be able to put a signal out there. So that's how you've been doing your 222?
When we've been up on the mountain, not over at Tony's house. Tony's got a different setup. He's got an FT-736R, I think, and we use that for 2 and 222. He's got a 910H ICOM. We use that for 440. And his TS-480 SAT, or not the SAT, he's got the 200-watt version, driving an amplifier for 6 meters. So a very nice setup, Tony Shack. I'm sure you saw the picture, right?
Yeah. Tony Shack is very nice. Mine looks like a bomb hit it, but making some small bits of headway to fix that. But damn, we'll see. I got, you know, when I look at what I did, what I had 11, 12 years ago versus now, it's like things are kind of coming apart, so I got to put things back together again and do some nice stuff. Got to work on the rotator for the VHF position at the field day. I also have to work on the rotator for the tower of the house. I'm trying to see somewhere I have another TB3 thrust bearing, and God knows I have a shelf. So the problem is that it's very hard to insert the Rhone shelf in a Rhone 25 tower without a lot of bending of metal and the gross application of a blunt force trauma device.
Nothing like a little percussive maintenance.
Yes, exactly. I like that. Because of maintenance. But yeah, that's what has to be done. Unfortunately. And because I, you know, got a little overzealous when I put that mast in. And it basically doesn't control the rotator anymore. I mean, it doesn't spin the mast anymore. But it's got bearing issues, things like that. So what I want to do is I want to lower the mast by at least another couple of feet into the tower and put a second thrust bearing on there so that way the mast is held, you know, rigid no matter what. And then I just can slide a rotator in and out underneath it and not have any vertical load on it, and more importantly, no lateral load on it.
Well, sounds like you got a plan, so good luck getting it done. It's always harder work than you think it is. Anyway, I'm going to run, and good talking with you, and thanks for running the net. K2BARWI2W.
All right, very good, Steve, and thanks again. And yeah, I'll have to get back to my transverter game. After field day, but before field day, I'm going to focus on just getting 6 and 2 working, and I'll have something for 222 and 432. Well, 432 I'll have the 7000 probably, if I get that motivated. that or that's going to end up in the vehicle. It won't be available, but certainly 6 and 2 for the VHF position, plus the FM on the usual assortment of bands. That's what the plan is. All right, 7-3, and have a fine, fine evening. K2BAR, we'll just ask one more time. Anything else for the net, K2BAR?
K2BAR. K2TRW, late check-in. Good evening.
Good evening, Kai. We were just talking about possibly having Jim, WATUMP, or whoever, do a programming session on the Kinect Systems radio and do it as a program for Farallon, and maybe even like a mini program, and have it and basically make a video recording of it, so that way the how-tos of how to create your code plug would be etched in electrons.
Okay. Probably what I would like to do is try not to duplicate any existing YouTube videos. So if you want to see anything specific, I'll see if I can put something together. Is it for anything soon, or we're looking at the fall?
No, there's no time frame on this at all, whatever. I don't know. I see an awful lot of YouTube videos where the guy just drones on forever and you don't get down to business.
I could provide the link of the video that how I learned to write code plugs with. I mean, yes, the individual does drone a little bit, but if you take it to the end of the presentation, what is said in the beginning makes sense. So I guess it's just the patience of sitting through the entire thing.
Yeah, I think it might be helpful to have something that would be, you know, both, you know, for, DMR and also for FM and learning how to set up your groups and stuff like that, how that all works. So, yeah, that would be great. If you want to, why don't you, as a starting point, post to the CompTech group any YouTube links that you think might be instructive and or other links. Maybe a couple of frequencies and the like, for let's say New York and Orangeburg and things like that. Get a couple, and also the Farallon, or not the Farallon, the VCFMA repeaters. Just a listing of those mechanically on paper would be useful. And that way people say, okay, I'm taking this documented set of listings, and this is how we're going to put those into the, into the radio. And, as a starting rational code book. That's what I'd like to see ultimately. But for now, if you've got a generic one that you can point us to, and along with the list of what the repeaters are that we'd want to put in, that would be a good start.
Yeah, I can certainly do that. As far as specifically Farallon and BCFMA is concerned, I think they're a bit sensitive with revealing that kind of information. So if I were to present it, as a club presentation, I think they'd be okay, but I don't think they want me to put anything public.
Yeah, which is why they have no users. Okay. Well, you can certainly put on the ones in New York, and you put up, it just, I can't believe the inherent stupidity of this, but that's fine. Yeah, yes, we want to get everybody excited, but we're not going to tell anybody the keywords. All right, whatever. It boggles my mind. The mere fact that we have to have this conversation is, I appreciate it, but it's just plain you know, blank and stupid on so many levels. But anyway.
All right.
I know if I want to put in 444-100, 443-100 for FM, I want to know what to put them in for DMR. You know, it's pretty simple. You know, it's not rocket science. But anyway. And if not, give me another reason for not being a BCFM member yet again. Anyway. KTTRW, WTTTT.
Gordon, you know exactly how I feel about this. I've discussed with you at length off the air, and the discussion will continue to be off the air. So anyway, yeah, any of that stuff, you know, I can we can discuss off the air. Cause, I mean, now with the advanced features of the radios, it's really nothing to get those, but I don't want to get to another discussion. You know how I feel. All right, very good, Gordon. Thanks for the exchange. There's nothing else, and we'll say 73. K2TW.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Sure, it's no problem. Yeah, but if you could put out at least a few basic resources for stuff that at least people are not itchy about, you know, in an email on to the Comtech group, I think that would be instructive for a lot of people. And, I'm still boggled by the other stuff, but that's all right. 73-ALL has been another session of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. It's been a fun, wild ride for tonight, and look forward to seeing y'all either at Fairlawn or at the field of Kit Night next Tuesday for Barra, and of course on the various nets that Barra.org shows on its website. Look forward to that as well, and we'll see you next week. This is K2BAR W2TTT signing clear.
K2TRW, WA2UMP.
WA2UMP, K2TRW. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good evening, Kai. Your wife probably told you. I referred a K2UH to you. He's interested in purchasing a CS 580. But doesn't own a computer. And so I suggested that he contact you and see if he could purchase that with a code plug for his area in Queens. Back to you.
Yes, understood. That's been done off the air. Appreciate the referral.
Okay, very good. And I did make a list of all the common talk groups that I think he might have a use for, and I divided them into the TACs, TAC 310, TAC 311, TAC 1, TAC 3, trying to give them as many as you could. I gave them 444, the 3-4s for the New York City group, since he's in that region, and that's available through the the one repeater that I listed in Midtown, Manhattan. Let me drop a second. And then locally, Tri-State and New York State were of interest to him also. Tri-State, New York State, Northeast. The common talk groups, you know, worldwide English. He's particularly interested in the Hytera repeater system that is in Brooklyn. You know, the K2RNI, the one that you had accessed locally down there and I had mentioned about. I have some information on that, but I have to dig it out. I may send that to him and he'll send it to you. I don't know. What's your general overall reaction? Go ahead.